A lot of things keep happening. We don't talk much about it. All you have to do is support a ministry because you have a value judgment for what the teaching brings to your life. You're paying for product received. I used the illustration the other night. It's like going to a grocery store and sitting down and eating the food you're buying and then paying as you go out. I guess we're more like a restaurant. I don't even want any tips. Just value received, that's all. Do I still retain my King's House number if I move to the upland area? Yep. Now, this is something I have to clarify all the time. South Los Angeles. I'm listening. I'm a born-again Christian who loves the teaching. When asked if you'd like to be a King's House, she said she already belongs to a church. Becoming a King's House does not mean you stop doing that. A King's House is simply an identity with a teaching source of truth that ministers to you. And to encourage our faith and to give an identity that helps us reach what we really believe is a God-set goal, the King's House commits himself or herself or the household to watch at least once a week and to support monthly with something. And the scripture is very clear in Galatians. If you've learned, you haven't learned anything, you don't know a thing. You can listen and not learn, so you know a thing. Proper Christian giving is an act that brings dignity to the Christian expression instead of making it look foolish like a carnival barking situation. There's no Jesus junk here, no giveaways, no silver and gold pins, depending on how much you give, no colored bumper stickers that you get because you give, no books that you get for so much, 40-pound Bible you get for $100, 2-pound Bible for $10. Galatians, the greatest writing on grace, says, "If so be you've learned." The words koinonia in the Greek, used in both Philippians and Galatians and Hebrews for the giving of material things to the furtherance of the gospel. If so be you've learned, you have the obligation to share materially with the one who taught you. I'm in the business of bringing dignity to the things of God. Brainless world out there would like to make the rest of the world believe that the ministry of Jesus Christ could never attract anybody that could make it doing anything else. It never dawns on the average man on the street, least of all a newspaper person, that anybody that had the talent or ability to run General Motors, to be a governor of a state, or to be president of the United States, or to run a university, or least of all to take on a newspaper person and make them look like a monkey, would ever waste his energy or her energy and talent serving God, least of all being a preacher. Now, I don't claim to have any of those abilities, but by cracky, I think that that's the kind of people God deserves. and a man's gift maketh room for him. And the tragedy of the church world is that too many have been promulgating the truths of Christianity with neither the brains nor the ability to make it doing anything else. And they then place a premium on ignorance and somehow say, God's got to do it. Well, how come God didn't pick an ignoramus from a slave hut to write the first five books of the Bible and lead the Israelites out of bondage instead of floating one of their seed down into Pharaoh's court so he could learn everything the Egyptians, the leaders in wisdom in the world of that day, could teach him? Why didn't God just fill him the Holy Spirit and give him the unction, brother? Why don't you take ignoramus Apostle Peter? And I really believe the ignorance of the Middle Ages came about when they made him the boss. Why didn't God take that ignorant fisherman, the Apostle Peter, that wouldn't go preach the truth of the gospel to the house of a Gentile until God wrapped him on the head with a sheet of cleansed animals in a vision? He still didn't like to do it. And give him the task of writing two-thirds of the New Testament. Instead of taking one taught at the feet of Gamaliel, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, behind none of them, in zeal, intelligence, or training, or accomplishments. And then he took him to the desert for 3 years and added 3 more years training on him to write two-thirds of the New Testament. How come the best-preserved book of the Old Testament is Isaiah? If there is a classical writer among the prophets, he is it. Now, I'm tired of the bigotry and the prejudice of know-nothing, vacant heads in Christianity. I can put up with them. They can't put up with anybody that knows anything. And they excuse it. I said this to Jack Chin when I sent him down last week. I said, Jack, I only recognize one blood, that's the blood of Jesus Christ. One color, that's His blood. One race, citizens of heaven. Everybody else are objects of study. I've seen missionaries go down to countries and place a premium on ignorance, and I've seen nationals place a premium on ignorance as an excuse to get ahead, and I've seen missionaries cater to it. Don't anybody get it in their head that I won't make room for the raw diamond cut out of the rough that has no training, that the Holy Spirit touches and utilizes the way He did the apostles chosen by Jesus. But I will tolerate no intolerance on their part of God's right to choose a Moses, to choose an Isaiah, and to choose a Paul when that's the kind of job he needs to get done, and there's room in the kingdom for all of them. I make room for them. They better make room for me. God's not half the ignoramus that He looks like from ignoramuses who do things they blame God for. And since there are so many ignoramuses running loose, I decided this is one place would make room for a little bit of brain power. You say, oh, that ain't very humble. Yeah, it is. I know how far I got to go to catch the wisdom of God, and that makes me humble every time I look at Him. I ain't interested in proving humility to you. That is the critic. I don't need to prove it to the supporters with eyes wide open to watch. A king's house makes an identity with a commitment to truth. Don't give me that stuff about humility. Dr. Tozier says, and I repeat what I've said 100 times, a truly humble man doesn't look back to see if he was. Christianity lost sight of God. They so fogged the air up trying to figure out how to look humble. If you really see God, He'll make you see yourself. But Christianity is so hard at work at its own spiritual imagery, it can't even see God. That's what's the matter with the Pharisees. They were so busy proving up their own self-righteousness, they didn't see righteousness in their midst. I value the things of God, and I refuse to let them be denigrated. And I came off my defensive posture a long time ago. I value the truth of God. And my Bible tells me that if you have the Spirit of Christ, you have the mind of Christ. And when you have the mind of Christ, you will have His value judgments. And that's why He said to the Corinthians that we're plutocrats in the things of the Spirit. See that you don't fall behind in this gift, which is abundantly exhibited by the Macedonians, poorer than you. But they prove they have the genuine Spirit of God in them, because all I got to do is mention a need, and He uses a double word in the Greek. They beg with much begging to be allowed to give to it. And if God gave His Son and His Son gave His life, can you say the mind of Christ is your mind and the Spirit of God is directing you unless you also are a giver? And if so be you've learned, He said to the Galatians, then share materially with the one who taught you. No, I've gone through my entire life feeling I had too little to give to God to deserve a place in His kingdom. God knows my secret moments. I'm forever standing in places where I feel God's asking me to do what I'm not ready to do or able to do. But faith makes me charge on in. But nobody better doubt that I believe, and the reason I feel inadequate is I feel if there is a man anywhere in the world that has the ability to run the greatest business in the world, the greatest country in the world, the greatest university in the country, that man ought to be like the Apostle Paul, the most totally committed man to the purposes of God ever seen on the face of this earth. The greatest credential Christianity ever proved and placed in the stream of history. Paul could have run the Roman Empire. He had that kind of ability. He gave it to Christ. And I'm tired of a syndrome in this world that thinks the only people that have a right to be preachers are those that luckily can lift themselves above welfare aid from the state and ought to feel lucky if they get a $20,000 a year salary. I happen to believe I don't qualify with what I think ought to be the best gifts available to God. I happen to believe I wouldn't have to worry about being broke if I wanted to give my life doing something else. And what worries me about too many people in ministry, I'm not too sure they could stay out of the poorhouse if they did anything but what they're doing. God ought to have the best is the message. And when anyone comes along giving you God's word, value judgment is worth-ship. It's an expression of value, worth-ship. That's what worship is. An equally dumb world would have you think that finance and money is not spiritual. Paul uses the illustration of giving to tell the people that thought they were the most spiritual in the New Testament, the Corinthians, they didn't really have the Spirit of God if they weren't givers. They proved the genuineness of what they had for the way they gave. And he told the enriched Galatians, for whom he would fight the Apostle Peter to his face to keep him aware of the wondrous gift of God's grace. If so be you've learned, share materially with the one that taught you. There's dignity in that. Who do you think I read in the newspaper in Washington, D.C.? Was immediately in a hotel in Washington, D.C. the week after the plane crashed in the river. The Washington Star called him the King of Torts, Melvin Belli. The name most famous in accident insurance cases. Believe you me, to get him, regardless of how some people may value him, to get him, you pay. You pay because he's made it his business to know that field. Well, he may get somebody a few dollars here before they go over there. My business is giving people the key to an inheritance that is eternal. If you don't want it, don't buy it. But if you get that key, you become a lie and a shame to God if you don't hang your body on the testimonial of its value. It has no value if you're not willing to pay for it. David said that when somebody tried to give him the threshing floor that became the foundation of the temple that he had built or his son would build in later years. Shall I give that to God which cost me nothing? And he paid for it. Be not deceived, that same chapter says, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That distorted scripture has been preached on every subject except the one Paul wrote it on, giving money to a preacher that taught you. And God says you sow spiritually if you've learned when you give to the one who taught you. I don't apologize for giving the right way. I tuck my head in shame when I see the idiocy in other Christian networks that get people to give. That's why I refuse to participate in any kind of story that's done that lumps me in with the rest of them. I ain't one of them. I don't even want to be on the masthead of a story that any of them show up on. I don't want to be anywhere on a platform where they are if it's supposed to be any kind of platform that suggests an identity with them. Oh, yes, because they cheapen my Lord with gimmicks to meet a budget. Well, I'd rather have your prayers than your money. Can I put you on my prayer list? How many of you ever got on that list and didn't get a letter appealing for money? It's dishonest. I need friends, and I want to send this to my friends. I could get rich if I got a dollar for every one of those friends to whom they sent something because they loved you, that also got another letter when they needed a friend. That's dishonest. That cheapens God. And Jerusalem rocks. I'd rather give them petrified jackass droppings in the streets of Jerusalem on the possible thought that it's the ass that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Once in a while, I have to let you know there's still the good old sane gene still sitting here. I only want givers and king's houses who will recognize. If you are taught here, you're a debtor. We don't ask much. We will look you dead in the eye and say, you want to walk out of the restaurant where you got spiritual food and not pay? You haven't robbed me. You've testified to God that His Word is of no value to you. And I can't really blame some of you because you've been traditionally made to believe that until it was thought to be something smart and proper to give it to you freely. Oh, I know. Peter said, silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, give I to thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Nowhere do I find in God's Word that God puts a charge on that. He gave healing because He had compassion. That's why I can't stand anybody. And when I see one of the leading voices in television every time that he has a telethon where he's raising his budget calling out healings, I cringe. Because there's nowhere in God's book you're asked to express value for that. That's God's compassion. But God's Word, which is the key to eternal life, God says you are to value it as you are to value Him. Healing's a natural expression of God's love. Doesn't take any concept of God at all to respond worshipfully to God when He heals you. But it takes a value judgment to put eternal things ahead of temporal things and to put His Word against every material thing. And that's the mark of the man of faith, and that's the kind of man God's looking for. Now, this speech is simply to say, I don't ask you to leave your church, but I do say, King's Houses, identify with the truth that is heard here and come out of the closet and say, this is worthy of my identification, no matter how small or great. I won't stand silent and not be heard. When God is looking on and I have a chance to testify to its worth. Listen to this. New King's House, Los Angeles. 4,705. I wanted you to know that us Jews are listening too. Just started listening last month and have already learned more from Dr. Scott about Jewish history than I did from going through Hebrew school. Parenthesis, we called it Juju Bead School. About the only thing we learned was when holidays occurred. One of them, by the way, is the Feast of Tammuz, or it occurs in the month of Tammuz, rather. You ought to trace that one back to the bondage of the Jews in Babylon and ask, isn't it interesting? Nobody ever asked about those fast days until they came back from Babylon. And Haggai and Zechariah have to deal with it. I think this is wonderful. Sent in $50 last month. Be sending $100 for February. Now that I'm a King's House, I feel like I'm part of the family. And you are. We welcome you. He didn't have Leah's faith. Now, with that speech, you ought to say something.